Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Last Knock Horror Podcast. As Johnny Numb says, your friend in horror since 2013, and that is true. But tonight, Johnny's not here. We have an interview with a wonderful guest, a person who we haven't had on the show in like 6 years, but who I met in person live at Shriekfest, which was absolutely amazing. And he's here, and he is going to talk about a film, talk about horror comic books, and all that fun stuff. Jonathan Chance, how are you, sir?
I'm good. How you doing, Billy?
Great. Just great to have you back on again. It's been way too long. And again, I live on the wrong coast, so that's my problem.
Right. Oh, man, I've been wanting to do this for I wanted to do it way sooner. Because I had a lot of fun last time we had our conversation and everything. So it's a shame it's taken this long, but lots of things have happened. So there you go.
Yes, absolutely. A lot has happened. And last time we were talking about The Rectory, which is is still in pre-production, your horror movie. Can you tell us about that? What's transpired since? What's happening? I already gave away, comic books. So, tell us what happened.
Well, with that, we obviously had difficulty trying to get that off the ground, and right. I haven't given up on that. Good. But to be honest, it's just been on. It was on a when I realized that it was just becoming like. Business just trying to get funding for it. Business. Like my creativity was stifled. So basically I thought, well, you need to nurture your spirit when you are a creative person. You've got to continue still writing, even though, you're trying so hard to get things going and everything. So, but I thought, you know what? Like I've always wanted to do like a horror anthology. And why not do it in comic books? I love comic books my whole life. I've grew up on them. I've been collecting them and, since I was about 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. I was into horror before that, with films and stuff, but comics around about 8 or 9. And then I did 3 years of fine art college. So before I got the filmmaking bug, I actually was looking into doing comic book stuff, but I didn't go in that direction. I ended up going off into filmmaking and all the wonderful things involved with that. So it's kind of come full circle back round. Right. But yeah, so at the time I thought, you know what, it'd be really cool to be able to get my stories out in a different medium and, get something to be excited about and something that I could be passionate about again. So I was starting to do that. And then around about, so it was July 3rd, 2018. Mm-hmm. My wife passed away.
I know.
So my wife passed away. It was a car accident, not on her part. Two people that were speeding and they hit her, imposing traffic. So for anyone, it's completely unimaginable what that must feel like. So that happened to me.
No, I know it did. I wasn't going to bring it up at all. I felt really, and it's funny, I'll never forget the date because that's my birthday. And I was like, oh man, it just killed my soul because, I did not meet your wife in person, but I know you, I know her, I knew her through you and the stories because we had a lot of conversations going on at the time. And, I'm just really sorry.
Well, at the time, it's one of those experiences that obviously over time, but here I am, things get better. You have certain days that kind of dig things up, and when you're that close to someone and that was the person that you were with, and you that's all you saw was the future going forward with them, so you have to basically put yourself on this new path to be like, hey, that's not going to happen anymore. So now I've got to, but there was so much in it. Obviously, there's like 10 years of, I came out here, for not only for the film festival that I was going to be in, you know, back in, was it 2008? But I came out here to meet her originally because we were friends, mm-hmm. you know, online for like 8 months. We were just friends at the time. And obviously when we met in person, she said, oh, if you're coming out to California, well, we should meet, you know, and we met. And then obviously it was way more than what we thought it was going to be. And it turned into a long distance relationship. And then I ended up getting engaged with her, and I came out here to be with her, to marry her. And so she was one of the main reasons that I came out here. That's why I'm here.
Right.
Then we had a, obviously, and that, so absolutely. So in all this, you know, you're like, how do you go forward from that? So, mm-hmm. and you've got your future that you see with that person, you know, your little family that you're growing here, you know, her, myself, and my son. So, so you have to basically, within that first period of time, like the first 6 months, was very raw. You know, it was just crying day in, day out, because mm-hmm. this is the person that literally just, you know, I grew up on horror, she grew up on horror. We like the same music, she liked the same music. It was just, you know, that's your person, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
She grew up earlier than I did watching horror films. I mean, her favorite film was Dawn of the Dead, the original, of course. Mm-hmm. And she saw that when she was three or something crazy. But anyway, so anyway, through that, I needed to think, okay, I've got to really think ahead and think, if I go deep down into this, it's not going to be good. I'm not going to be good for myself. I'm not going to be good for my son. I'm not going to be good for anyone.
Yeah.
So you basically have to make this decision that, okay, you know, so after she passed away, there was, we always had this psychic communication anyway, when she was here, all kinds of and things. And you'd be like, well, you know, this is meant to be, right? So afterwards, I think the truly most devastating thing is that you wonder, is there really anything afterwards?
Right.
And that's the most devastating thing. And I don't know if I ever told you this, but so there'd be signs that I would see. And in those signs is the reassurance that, thank God, there's something afterwards. And I knew that she would, if there was a way to communicate, she'd know a way to communicate, right?
And, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say that I saw her or something like that, but I think that's too much, to be honest. But just little things, like she used to always, she had something called synesthesia. And people have different types of...
Yes, yes. The senses are like she could smell color maybe or something?
Oh, it was kind of like that. Basically, she could see colors in songs.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, wow.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that I would always ask, I would say, you know, whenever a song was on, I would say, okay, when the signature changes, you know, where the chords change, I go, what color is it now? Or what color is this? So I'd always ask these questions. And the funny thing is, people that have synesthesia, there's different types. But right. sometimes she didn't like songs just off the color that they were. So if she didn't like a color to a song, it wasn't that the chords were bad or it was a bad song that was sung or whatever. It was just about the color. So it was fascinating to me.
Yes.
And then I'd go into this whole thing. So if there's a dark song, say there's a really creepy Melvins or Black Sabbath dark doom.
Melvins, yes.
Right. Well, there was like one song that, you know, there's a completely... I'll tell you what it is later. But I'm like, what color does that produce? Because you assume it sounds dark, but right. what color does it produce? So in that instance, actually, it's very, pardon me, very realistic. Like what it sounds like is what the colors would produce. If it's not black, it would be something like dark burnt red or something like that, she would say.
Wow.
Dark blue with that. But she seemed to like songs she'd always say that were beige color. Or like light pink or kind of like a sunset type color. So she'd have all these different types of things. But anyway, so she had that. So anyway, she'd look up songs if she didn't know what the name of the song was. And she'd look up the lyrics to it. to find out what the name of the song was, and then obviously she probably put it on a Spotify later or whatever. So anyway, so typical where she'd put in the name of the lyrics or whatever, and then she'd save it on her tab. So when I got her phone back a week later, and obviously gone through at that point, you know, it's a very raw experience to have.
Mm-hmm.
I look up on her phone, and one of the last things she looked up, and I think I needed this because I needed to know, because I'm still at this point wondering if anything even exists afterwards, you know.
Right.
So the last song she looked up was called Here in Spirit.
Wow.
And I just cried. I just
I can imagine, yeah.
And this is the thing, and it was by, I can't remember the name of the guy now, but and I actually played that along with a bunch of other songs that she liked at the funeral and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But just that was just, that was for me. And,
right.
And it was like, and you can say, oh, it's a coincidence, oh, it's a coincidence. But you know what? There aren't no freaking coincidences. I feel like we're drawn to people, whether it be a good experience, whether it be a bad experience. It's all part of life's journey anyway, right? To make right. us be strong, to keep going, to keep going, to keep going. We've all got fulfillments here, as big or as small as they are. We've all got fulfillments to make. You know, just opening the door for an old lady that, you know, someone hasn't done for 15 years might have a huge impact on her. It meant nothing to you, you know? So mm-hmm. even the smallest things we do have an impact. So, yeah, I truly believe that that message, I think, was meant for me. And there's been things like that. And like, I had a friend that basically I'd wondered what happened to him. I've known him for like my whole life, since I was about 5 years old. And he's one of the only people that didn't reach out. I'm thinking, why didn't Darren reach out? And Cam knew him and everything as well.
Right.
So he had this really, really, really realistic dream, because he hadn't reached out to me for like a month, 2 months. Right, he had this really realistic dream
mm-hmm.
of her floating above me and Chrissy in bed, and in this vivid dream, and he wouldn't have known that Chrissy would have been in the bed with me at that time, which he was, mm-hmm. which he was sleeping with that, because he was too old for his cot, so he was in the bed with me at that point. This was not long after she'd passed away, I think. So right. anyway, he gets to me the next day on Facebook in the DMs, and he says, John, I'm so sorry for not reaching out. I didn't know what to say. I didn't, all this kind of thing. And basically, it was like, and I've heard this too, that they can visit dreams, mm. you know, spiritually,
mm-hmm.
to send a message across. And the message was loud and clear, was stop being an asshole and reach out to your best friend, John. And that's what it was. He needed a wake up, and that's what it, so there's things like that and little signs here and there and everything, and then you won't have any for a while, then you have something else. And but little things like that, definitely, as much as, you know, you miss the person being here physically and everything that brings, you know, just enjoying watching a horror film, and now right. you watch that horror film or whatever, and you know you've got memories attached to it, or those songs. So that's the difficult part too, is that you've got to now make new, not even memories, but you've got to be into watching newer films, or films that you can watch by yourself, that you haven't seen before with them, or music you haven't seen with them, so that you can now have new memories going forward. That's a difficult thing where you've got 10 years locked in with all yeah. these memories of watching these great films, watching these great music, so you can't help but, you know, look back even just for a second. So it's like a switch that kind of goes. But
yeah.
So anyway, yeah, so in this process of doing all that, you know, on my path, right, okay, you know what, at the very least I'm thinking, you know, it's spiritual now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've always been into that stuff. When I came out here the first time, originally I was going to come out to the film festival with my brother and a friend, because we made this movie, right? And then that year it was great, because we won best guerrilla film. But we didn't know any of that time. We were just nominated. It's like, should we go out there to California and see what happens? Yeah, let's do it. So my brother couldn't go because due to, I think he didn't have enough money at the time to come out. And my other friend, you know, he didn't have enough money or whatever. And I thought, fuck it, you know what? I'll go out by myself. I've got a really good feeling about this. Mm-hmm. I've got a really good feeling. I had this something like, I got to go. I really got to go. If I don't go, I'm not going to know what's going to happen.
Right.
So I went, and that's what happened. We ended up winning that year at the film festival. I met Cam properly in person. If I hadn't met her in person, I wouldn't end up, you know, getting engaged with her, coming out here, living here, having a child. It was a major pivotal point and a decision that if I had not done that and gone with my gut feeling, this spiritual, you know, the feeling that we have sometimes, an urge, right? The calling, whatever you might call it.
Sure.
Yeah. So it would have changed everything. I wouldn't have a child right now, or it would be someone else's child, or
yeah.
some other person I wouldn't be with or whatever. So I wouldn't change any of that stuff. So now, ever since she passed away, it's now like it's on, that switch is higher now.
Mm,
so certain okay. things, I won't have anything for ages, but those urges are that instinct in there where you think something, I don't just discard it, you know, but I also, mm-hmm. I'm a skeptical person. I've always been skeptical on it, but, and I think with that going forward, what I needed to do was, okay, I'm obviously not going to be able to do the film right.
Mm-hmm.
Just in no place to do that right now. And I don't want to backwards and forwards with the producer and all that and whatever.
Right.
And I just, you know, it's already stifled anyway. It's already not moving right now. And it's not where I want it to be. There's no new news. There's no, it's just the same, right? So
mm-hmm.
petrified, you know, in the same spot.
Yeah.
So what I can do at least is what I began, which was, okay, let's keep going forward doing these comic book stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I can at least get out stories and, you know, it's something cathartic. That was the whole idea, is that I wanted to work through this and just really just, you know, get into the stories. And my whole idea with these horror stories was to, you know, have this horror anthology and bring together industry artists and newcomer, you know, inspiring newcomer artists all at once, because you never have them all in the same place.
No.
You know, there seems to be this between the two. Right. So I thought, well, why not? Why hasn't that been done before? You know, there's so many brilliant new young artists out there. They're not being given the opportunity.
Absolutely.
So I thought, well, yeah. So, so here I am basically finally getting to use my 3 years of art college and all that's coming, actually getting to use that. And you having a bit of an eye for it and everything. And, you know, years and years and years of reading comic books and looking at them. And the most important thing that I always used to hate was you'd see this beautiful comic book cover, you know, with this enticing cover. It looks absolutely beautiful. You'd open it up, and on the inside, the art is either no way near as good as that cover.
Yup.
You're like, oh, what a letdown.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Great cover. You open up, or it's black and white. I don't have a problem with black and white, but, you know, you've enticed this beautifully, you know, beautiful colors and all this stuff, and you open it. So it's a bit of a letdown too. So
right.
My whole idea was, you know, to basically, why don't I try to create something like a horror anthology, do it my way, and as much as I like, you know, horror hosts and all that, it's not only been done, but EC were the original people that did it. Creepshow did it
yep.
in a kind of a spoofy way. And that's it. You know, that should be the way it's left. And if I want to keep this realistic and creepy and modern, you know, but also kind of an homage to the past as well, just basically not have any hosts at all and just let the stories tell themselves. So, you know, with each story, what I wanted to do was to get a particular artist, whether it be an industry artist or a newcomer, depending on their style of art, to match the story. So I'd have, you know, I'd do all the different stories, you know, and let's say, you know, I've got one set in the 1980s in California, right? So let's just say that's that. I'm going to need someone that can do color quite well, because there's a lot of bright colors in that, in the, you know, California, sunny and 80s and all that. But also there's going to be creepy marsh related stuff in a swamp and things like that. So they've got to be able to do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, if there's another artist who can't do that type of horror art, he's more used to doing Victorian looking you know, old buildings and creepy houses and stuff like that, then I would have him for another story. So I basically, it's not to say that any artist couldn't do all of that, but some artists can do certain environments better than others, and you want to get the best person for the right story and everything. So,
right.
And so that's what I was doing. So, yeah.
No. I mean, I've had the pleasure of taking a look at them. The one, like, I know the one that you were just talking about, that's automatically the, oh my gosh, this one's a winner, right? That's the one you were talking about?
Oh, that was one of them, yeah.
Yeah, from California. So yeah, because
yeah,
I...
that one's set.
You got me so excited because it's a comic book. I'm, like, talking over you. I'm sorry.
That's now, all right. Oh, can I take...
Go ahead. You run with it, man. I'm just going to be quiet. I'm ruining everything. Uh-oh, there's dead air. John, did we lose you?
Single dad.
Okay, now I get it. Yeah, okay, cool.
Can't even edit that. Okay.
No, nah, I'm not editing anything. I don't have time to edit anything.
That's the thing too. See, that's the thing too. I mean, when you go from a small family anyway, you know, yeah. Mum, dad, and son, you know, this happened when he was 3.5 years old.
You're right.
You know, that was the second hardest thing. The hardest thing was hearing that it happened. And that's it's just been taken from under your feet, you know? Mm. And then the second is how the fuck am I going to tell my son this tomorrow? I can't even keep it together to be able to tell them. How do you even, and you have to tell them that, you know, not that she's just gone away. That could just mean she's gone to the shops. You know, where is she, you know?
Right.
So I have to kind of look up how to even do that, go about it. And it kind of, then it kind of settled in and he understood what had happened in that. But yeah, such a devastating thing at the time. But so that's the other thing too. So when this all happened, you know, now I'm doing everything by myself. And the film thing obviously not only seemed so far away at that point, but I'm thinking at least I can get into my work when the kid's down asleep. I can get into my work in my environment and just write. And the thing is, I don't just write the stories. I mean, when you're doing comic books, it's very much like doing, and this is what I loved about it. I was wondering if the transition would be similar, and it's very similar. When you're doing a script in a film, so instead of doing shots, you're doing panels. So I can really get into my filmmaking side with this, and I can put, you know, what all the panel one's going to be this shot, panel two's going to be this, panel three's going to be. So you're going into that while you're writing it, and then you're doing all the descriptions, and you want to be descriptive as possible so that they can really capture that in the drawings. But then on top of it, sometimes stuff, as much as you know, can describe it, I didn't even know what people do this, but there are apparently some that do it too. I do storyboards for all of the stories I do. Mm-hmm. And I've done about almost 10 now, maybe more. And they vary from, the first one I ever did was 5 pages. The longest one I did last year was 75 pages.
Wow.
And all the other ones. Yeah, that was a graphic novel, that one.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah.
And all the other ones are like the one I was just talking about with the swamp creature in that. That's like the average one might be basically between, you know, a normal story might be 12 to 16 pages, but for most part, you know, the bookend stories, let's say I do 4 stories per volume, mm-hmm. 2 of those stories would be about 20, 23 pages. So they're kind of like the more bulkier, slightly bulkier stories. But the plan is to basically do 4 stories per volume, all with completely different artists, you know, to suit the mood and environment of the story. And try to do 1 volume a year. And mm-hmm. I would love to be able to do something like that. And, you know, the amount of pages that would add up to per volume would in itself, again, be about 70 to 80 pages total.
Wow.
And so that's what I've basically been doing, is I've been going through these different stories in that. So, and in between that, I was like, okay, well, while I'm doing these stories, I'm doing one and I'm doing another one. I'm like, you know, at the same time, I'm submitting to horror publishers, you know, indie comic book publishers, and you know, for a while, you're just, you know, it's just like sending off to producers and things like that. You're not hearing it back. So it got to this point of, you know what, I'm just going to keep writing and keep doing story after story, and I'm going to do, they're all going to be so different that at one point people will just check in and they'll think, well, what's he doing now? He's doing some other random thing. What's this and what's it? So I wanted to basically give them something like that. They're constantly being surprised at what stories I'm doing, you know, and the art looks different and it's a completely different setting. And so it's basically undeniable to them that I'm doing something exciting. That's what I'm trying to put out there. So then all of a sudden, after about 2.5 years of constantly writing and submitting and whatever, beginning of this year, all of a sudden at the same time, two stories got picked up for a horror sci-fi anthology called Elsewhere, Volume 2.
Excellent.
And that, and that one is with Unlikely Heroes. And that they've got a really big fan base, and they're not in stores per se, but they're all online, and they have a really big fan base, especially with like all the comic book people and on Kickstarter. And they always raise way over the amount that they put out. And they actually ended up raising, I think it was about 12,000, I think, for this one, which is fantastic. And it, all the money goes to the contributors, you know, all the different writers that produce all their stories for the book. And the end of the book ended up being, I think it's 250 pages, and that's going to be out. I think the people that have got it on Kickstarter, it's going to be out, you know, sent out to them this month, I believe. So anyway, at the same time, Antarctic Press, who is an indie publisher, they've been around for about 40 years, lots of big titles behind them and that, reaches out to me at the exact same time with the exact same two stories. Oh, Two stories is going to be in Horror Comics issue 6 coming up, blah blah blah. I'm like, what? I didn't even know they got picked up.
Surprise.
Thanks for letting me know. And I'm like, wait, hang on a second. I'm like, one sec, I've just let those publishers just have it. So I basically had to get a phone call going and to say, if you could communicate, let me know ahead of time, because, you know, I've just let these two, this company have those two stories as well. So if you're okay with it, and I'm the creator, and I'm okay with it, are we cool? And they were cool with it.
So basically, that's awesome, man.
So basically, yeah. So these two stories are going to be basically, so this is going to be in Horror Comics issue 6, and this is going to be out this Wednesday, June 9th, so I don't know when this is going to air, if it's going to be before or after that, but those two stories are basically going to be in Horror Comics issue 6 from Antarctic Press. There's going to be another separate third story that someone has done, but basically it's a long running you know, it is like a horror anthology type thing, but it's basically a horror series that each issue they either continue or they'll start with new stories. And we actually managed to get the flip cover for it too. So we produced the flip cover that, if you pick up a copy of it, you'll see on the back that we did the one which is based on the story Respect Your Elders. So you'll see this creepy old man towering over this young. Sorry?
No, I love that one. That's fantastic. That was beautiful. That was the first one you sent me. Loved it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So this old man's towering over this young girl, he's a teenager on her phone, basically. She's completely distracted, like all teenagers with their phones. So it's very fitting for now, I think. so there's that. And then I was hoping it'd be this month, but it might not be until next month or so. But that graphic novel I was talking about, which I spent most of last year doing, I was just writing it and writing it and writing it. And I was expecting with the artist, I was like, okay, I think this is going to be about 40 pages, and it kept getting bigger. It's like, sorry, dude. But His name's Emi Uchira, and he's this fantastic artist, and he actually did one of the stories that is in one of those horror ones I was just telling you about, so we ended up doing this story together. So this story is called The Boy Who Conquered a Mountain, and it's basically about it's a coming-of-age story mixed in with a, you know, fantasy action kaiju oni demon creature type story.
I love it already. That's excellent.
Right. So it's set in the 1600s too. I mean, basically, there was a publisher who was looking for, oh, we're only really looking for kaiju stories, right? It's like, okay. I'm thinking, I know a lot of people like kaiju stuff, and especially with all the stuff that's going on right now. But it's all modern stuff. Now, nothing wrong with that, but there's only so much you can do with it that's unique, you know? So I'm thinking, well, if I'm going to write this, I really want to get excited about it. Why don't I set it in a time like the 1600s where, you know, there was a lot of magic and mystery and fantasy. And also then you've got ninjutsu, you've got samurai, you've got so many cool elements. And I grew up I did ninjutsu when I grew up, did kung fu. And so I'm thinking, you know what, I can make this kind of like a love note to a young John when he was this gawky, thin little thing that couldn't really kick anyone's ass, but he was starting to learn ninjutsu kind of thing. And set it in like the 1600s, and, you know, but you've got this whole element of, you know, what's going on underneath the surface, you know? Mm-hmm. And he dreams about, he has his like a premonition type dream about the destruction of everything around him. And that's how it begins. And then, you know, he has this feeling the next day that something's gonna happen. And then the next day, basically, the whole village, there's a tragedy. And he has to go to the top of the mountain, basically, to find his missing children. And along the way, though, like, you know, through this tragedy and everything, he's, you know, it's about him, and he's starting to, you know, he's growing up at the same time as well. So it's about that. But there's other things, you know, it's about the fantasy part of it and everything as well. But anyway, so this was originally going to be about 40 pages, but I didn't let up on it, because I'm thinking, if I cut this now, if I wrap this up, it's going to be, we've been building towards something, and you can't just do that to a story. You can't just, you know, oh, that's where it ends. You know, you've got to go with the flow of it and what the direction it is it's going. And I let that happen. And I'm so happy that I did, because it became bigger, more epic than I originally imagined it to be.
Excellent.
And then, yeah, and then the publisher that I'd been sending pages to, like, oh, this is great. Oh, this is great. Oh, this is great. And then all of a sudden, around toward the end, another guy comes in. I said, oh, no, yeah, I'm not sure about this, and I'm not sure about this. So all of a sudden, there's another opinion in there. I was like, oh. So, but then I complete it, and then after about a month or two, I send it to Heavy Metal. Heavy Metal's picked it up. So Heavy Metal's got this creator-owned so they've got this creator-owned virus comics, and my mum was like, typical. Man. Their son. My mum was like, you should email them and tell them, you should tell the other comic company, you should tell them that, look, it has succeeded.
I like your mom. I like your mom a lot.
That. I can't do that. I go, you know, the greatest success is to basically just show, you know, that all these different indie publishers, anyway, they're always looking at the competition. So one day, I go, I'm sure it'll pop up in their inbox, all the different comics that are coming out, and they'll see it there, and they'll realize that they might have made a mistake. So, you know, it's going to speak for itself in that sense. So that one will be out, I'm hoping. Like I said, it was going to be June 30th, but I think it's going to be next month now, so I've got to find out exactly, because they've got all kinds of different titles coming out. But I'm so happy that after this 2.5 years of just writing and working at it and just being determined and keep going and everything, and basically I've got those three coming out. And they also said they're going to pick up Never By Night, the horror anthology I was just talking about, so they're going to pick that up too.
Fantastic, man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so
It's so good to hear great news. It's so great to, no, I'm serious. I know so many, you know, as soon as you're like, oh man, raising money for the film, it's like, ah, you know, it eats away your soul. And you didn't just go, ah, whatever, or I'll wait. Mm. You're like, no, I have to find a different avenue. I'm, you had stories in your head. You wanted them to come out and you created these really, really wonderful stories and comics. People are falling in love with them, obviously. I'm just so happy for you because you more than deserve this.
Well, thanks, man. Thank you. Yeah, so this is the other thing, too. I was kind of hoping that, you know, there's so many great comic books and graphic novels that, as you can see, have been turned into, you know, actual horror anthology episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Like Creepshow, the TV series, and Twilight Zone. And then they've actually had their own series like Walking Dead and things like that. So who knows? I would, you know, being the director myself as it is and seeing them visually like films in a sense anyway, that's how I'm writing them and doing the storyboards, and then the artist and puts their whole professional spin on it. It would be fantastic to see, you know, if I got the opportunity to even make them into a film of some sort or a short film in a horror anthology that's already out there, you know, so that would be so cool. The whole key is that I do enough of them. I want people to get excited about it, just like the way how you look back at, we were talking about this probably before, you see all the John Carpenter movies, you see David Cronenberg movies, you see all the George Romero movies and all this, and it was just like boom, 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 and you get excited every time you'd see a different movie coming out because you knew it was going to be great.
Right.
You know, at least for a long batch of different films. So with comics, that's what I'm trying to do with comic books. And also, I'm at that point. I think I needed to do this for myself. I think to prove to myself, you know, I can do this. I can, you know, even though this has happened or whatever, I can do this and I can get published. And not only that, but get myself out of where I was in that position that I was before. And now I'm in more of a healthier position now. Now I would like to actively look into properly making the film again.
Awesome.
Obviously, yeah, so that's what I want to do, but it's, you know, obviously I've got some hurdles to go before that. But also, this is the other thing, people do segue, like I say, from horror comics and horror graphic novels to films and things like that. But also, it's not just that. I've managed to start to get a bit of a fan base with all the comics. People are interested in what I'm putting out and everything. So the great thing is, you know, if a film was to arise out of this too, I hope I'll be able to get back the people that were interested before, you know, the supporters that loved the idea of what we were doing with Directory before, and now also bring on all these comic book people too, because the great thing would be is that I could do a comic book adaptation as well to accompany the film, so then I'd be bringing in both mediums together, and all the people that are interested in my work I was doing with comic books would also, you know, be interested in seeing the film as well. So that's another thing.
Man, it's really great to hear good news from someone that I know about, you know, because I know so many creators of anything from books. You're the only one doing, right. I know my other friend, he's doing comic books. He was the same way. Hey, no one's going to produce my films or whatever. Screw it, I'm going to do a comic. And I made books. I made books for my script because I'm like, no one's going to buy it. Screenplay. So it's just great to hear that somebody's making something happen and that it's not just like, yeah, I'm doing this thing, but it's really coming together for you in big ways. And that's phenomenal. I'm so thrilled for you.
Oh, thanks so much, dude. Yeah. So I'm just going to keep going with them, keep doing the stories and that. And, you know, I've got all kinds of different things trying to do with them. And then I think I'm going to reach a point where I'm like, I need to more actively, properly get out there now and get this film going again or whatever, you know, because it's the thing. And I think we were talking about this before, but there's all these like other like random bally rectory ones and they still haven't got it right. And I'm just, no.
Yep.
You know what the worst thing is? I shouldn't do it. I shouldn't do it because it's not even to do with the ego or anything. It's more just to do with, you know, I have to actively not get negative or anything and just concentrate on the positive things right now because there's positive
Sure.
things happening. Remind myself of those things. But just recently, I saw like one of those people that, as you know, we were trying to make this film for years. And all the articles, they're all out there back to as early as 2013, maybe even 2012, after I'd wrote that script, and it was in the semi-finalists for Shriekfest and everything. And then obviously we were trying to get out there, get cast together, try to get funding for it and everything. So
Right.
anyway, since then, everyone, this is what was annoying me at the time. I'm thinking, what's the problem here? Like, all these people are getting their film made of their version of what they want to tell the Bawley Rectory to be. And I'm thinking, we've got this fantastic script, and all these other people, fair enough, they've probably got smaller budgets. Maybe they'll go, I don't know. But it just wasn't moving. And it's like, so this is why I needed to get into the comic book stuff because, it wasn't going anywhere with it. But
Right.
now, anyway, it's just the other day, someone's moved on to, I think, the second one or whatever. And I'm like, I'm looking at the characters. I'm like, wait a second. You got the names of the characters that I have on the rectory. I'm thinking, wow, are you like really actively using all the characters that they weren't coming up before, but now they're there. And then like it's the same with other ones that they've brought out. Literally, they lifted whole, we'd put out slogans and things like that to do
Right.
with or taglines. And they were actively completely ripped off. And like, you only got to look back at articles and like they got, so they're using the same characters now. So anyway, but you know what? Like I say, I can't be negative about it. I've got to think whatever they're writing, it might be good for their
Oh,
people and
man.
that's fine. But this is supposed to be, for me, this is international. This is not just an England little horror film. This
Right,
is
right.
bigger. And when I say that, I don't mean blockbuster stupidity with CGI crap. I mean, I'm talking, this is a big story about a very important person and you can't piss it around. And I think people are just trying to make a quick buck. And if you look at
Right.
their films, I don't care if this offends anyone, if you look at the films they've done before, they all just look like a cash in on whatever films come out, Poltergeist or whatever, and then they'll call it some other random name just to
Yeah,
cash in
yeah.
on that. And it's like,
I think
if
I know
you're
who
already
you're
that
talking
stupid.
about. Yep.
Well, there's a few. There's like three or four people trying to do the rectory type film, right? And I again, I'm at that point. My wife passed away. I don't give a shit who I offend at this point. If they was like, oh, you said this about this person, and who am I anyway? I'm not even any name or anything anyway. So if this comes up, I really don't care. But
Yeah, but you have copyrighted material that people are openly plagiarizing, and that's evil.
right. Well,
That
that.
is pure
Well,
evil.
if they're literally. Well, if they're going to IMDb page and they're seeing, oh, look, they've got this character, they've got this character. Oh, let's use these characters. He hasn't been doing anything for a few years. Little do they know that, yeah, there's a major reason for that. It's called a, tragedy freaking happened, right?
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
it doesn't even matter. Like I say, I walked away from that and put my head strong. I went headstrong into doing comic books and that. But now I'm coming back to it. I'm actively going to be looking out now to go forward with this. It's not really. I think I needed to do that. There was just no way I could have gone forward because I would have been too embittered by the situation that I was in, that nothing was happening, and
Right.
embittered by also making their film versions. And but meanwhile, the most important thing is through this, and this is why I can't get upset, is they can do what they want and they can nick taglines, they can nick characters or whatever, but they don't have the story.
Right.
And if they can't direct it the way that I think, just this is just my opinion, but I've watched a hell of a lot of horror movies from a very young age. I know what makes a good movie, I know what makes a bad movie. I know I need to get to make a good movie. I know how to do a good story. And if I'm in any way proving that, even if it's just with comic books, I'm proving I could tell a story at least, right?
Oh, hell
And
yes.
knowing you, knowing you, you're the same way. You know what makes a great movie. And the thing is that, and that's the other thing too, is not just what makes a great movie to watch, but can you make a great movie?
Right.
And mine has always been about, and I've said this before and I say it often, I just need a bigger canvas. You know, give me more money to dip into and the right resources, and I'll use the tenacity I was, you know, using before with, you know, doing a great film with no budget or low budget, but then all of a sudden, if you had a budget, I'd make it look like it was even more, because I'm used to working at that frugal amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, so that's the plan.
The plan.
I keep doing comics.
This is beautiful, man. You have so much going on. You're getting published. You have, like, you're being, you know, you have comics being, like, appearing in two different places at the same time, when I know people are like, oh, my story's been rejected 30 times. I'm dying over here. And it's like, this is great, man. You're hitting it.
I've been there too. This is the thing. Now, the only thing I think is because, like I say, going to art college for a few years, I think I've got an eye, and just reading comics my whole life too, to know what makes, you know, a good story. And just, mm-hmm. you know, I am that picky control freak guy. I will be the guy that goes to the artist, can you change the color on that? Or that's not quite working. And they probably, 2 to 3 people have already told me, this was the most difficult thing I've ever done.
Oh,
I'm like,
man.
But it'll be memorable though, but it'll be, and I'll have to tell them that, but it's true. And this is the thing. Now, one of those has worked with a whole bunch of publications, and another one he used to do, I don't know if you've heard of these comics, but other comic book people listening would have. Mm-hmm. There's a comic book called Evil Ernie in the 90s. And mm-hmm. I think he's had comics. Yeah.
Yep.
So he's done all the beautiful art for that.
Nice.
And he's telling me, and he was doing that shit years ago, he's telling me, this is the most difficult thing I've ever done. And I'm like, but it's brilliant though. This is the thing, that we're making something memorable. And if I knew, just looking at your art, what you were capable of doing, you know, I knew that we could go further with it, go even further. And then, you know, I'm pushing because I know what they're capable of doing. So, and then the same thing is with the artist, with the boy who conquered the mountain. He said the same thing. But this is the thing, because I kept pushing, and not in any way being rude at all.
Oh,
just to get the results. You got a vision for it. You got you know what you want to see. And because of that, like I say, one of our stories is already ending up in 2 publications, and then the other artist, that one's the one that's with Heavy Metal. So it just proves, okay, well, at least I know what I want, and I have a way of basically telling people what I need.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's direct, but for comics.
Yeah.
So
sure.
If I can do it with comics, I think I can do it with this film. So
I'll
be picky. I'll be like, no, it's going to be better. Yeah.
No, it's great that you care about quality. I mean, you know, you could watch 100 horror movies and maybe 3 are good, you know, and it's like the others are just like, why did they just slap this together? How come nobody read this, you know, said, hey, we need another 2 rewrites on that script? How come, you know, the list goes on? So it's just great to know that you care about quality. It does shine through in the comic books. They're really well done, well crafted. I think they're beautiful. When you sent them to me, I was like, whoa. So I was really happy. I was like, this is great.
That's right. The thing is, yeah, because you don't want to be like, Yeah, these are good. And you're like, oh, man, should not quit his day job. These are not good.
No, I was really impressed. I was very happy to see them. I'm so thrilled for you. And whatever comes next, which I know will just, you know, be better. And no, that's wonderful. And just, this is great, man. I mean, considering all that you've, the hell that you've gone through in a 2-year period, this is just wonderful. So many people, you know, they do. They get stuck in a rut. They get stuck in the sorrow and the pain. And it's not that it isn't there, but you know that, you know, you still have a life to leave. You have a son, you know, Chrissy. And, right. You know, it's like I have a creative outlet and I'm going to move forward. And I think that's just so fantastic. And I'm really happy for you.
Thank you, dude. Yeah, I think I needed to work into it, and I think the more I kept working into it, I think it just eventually shone through, you know, with all the different stories and everything. And then, but I've been there, you know, rejected by tons and tons and tons of places, you know.
Yeah.
But I just same with the filmmaking stuff. I just kept going and kept going. And I think it's not just that you believe in yourself, but if you know in your heart what you're doing is quality, you know, that you're producing quality. Biased in any way, but you just, you know what makes a good comic, you know what makes a good movie, so you just like, you know what, every publisher, just like anyone that's got an opinion, all publishers have a different opinion too, and it happened to be that particular person. One minute the guy's telling me it's great the whole time, and then a friend or whoever, you know, to do another person to do with the publisher had come in and he said differently. Doesn't mean that it was wrong or that it wasn't as good, because he'd tell me it was good the whole time. I knew it was good. And then obviously Heavy Metal thought it was great. So
yeah, and that's fantastic.
Wow.
I remember wearing my Heavy Metal t-shirt from the magazine when I was a kid.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. And that's the thing. So the greats, I mean, it's such an institution, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know? That is huge. I mean, that's, I mean, as soon as you said it, I know I gasped, but nobody heard it. But I was like, my jaw was dropped. I was like, that's just, and it wasn't like, wow, that's a shock. It's just like, that is fantastic. It's like you hit the lottery for a little bit of money, and it's well deserved, because I know that it wasn't an accident that this happened, you know, because they wouldn't just say, yeah, we'll do this. It's like, that says so much about the quality that you're speaking of, your creative spirit, your storytelling, all of it. So phenomenal. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you, brother.
And like I said, it's well deserved. And I had a really shitty day at work, and this makes me feel like fantastic. So I'm like, I love it.
Sorry to hear you had a bad day, dude.
It's, you know how work is, you know, work is work. And it was just one of those days that got away from me, but it's okay, because, you know, you're sharing this story with me, and where can people find you and the comics and everything else? Can you give us some, touch points?
Sure. So, like I say, Horror Comics issue 6 is out with Antarctic Press, publishers. That is at any comic store, I would like to say, because they are independent publishers, it's possible they might not have it. You might have to order it. I was getting people to pre-order it beforehand just in case. But I know, like, for instance, they do have them in England. Like, I made sure my mum was going to get a copy in England. Because I wanted her to see it on the shelf. Be proud of me.
awesome.
Other places in the US, hopefully. Other places that do English language. Elsewhere, Volume 2. Is now available online through Unlikely Heroes publisher, their website. And there are lots of fantastic stories in that one. So that's a whole other thing with Elsewhere. Lots of different sci-fi and horror stories, you know, as well as ours. It's available online, you know, the physical as comic as well, graphic novel, as well as digitally as well. You can just have it for your phone if you want to do it on the Kindle or whatever. That's on Comicology. And what else? Boy Conquered the Mountain is out with the Virus Comics, Heavy Metal subsidiary. Should hopefully be, I was going to say June 30th, but it's changed. I think it's going to be next month, but look out for that. But if you want to follow me, you can find out when all these things will be coming out. And I'm on Jonathan_Chance on Instagram. And on Twitter, I'm Carry On John. And my website is jonathan-chance.com, and I think that's everything.
And Carry On you have, man. I am just, this is great. This is, oh man, I run into people who it's like, yeah, you know, I got that idea for that movie, and it's like, get away from me, because you've been talking about it for 10 years. You're not doing a blessed thing. And you're just like, you know, hey, I have an idea. Okay, this isn't working right now. Okay, I'm going this route. And you're making something happen. That's phenomenal. Oh.
And that's the thing. I just wanted people to, at the end of the day, I just wanted people to see my stories. you know, and
And we
also
will.
this is the other thing I did. I did a prequel character story, not a prequel story, but a prequel character story to the Rectory in one of my horror shorts as well.
Nice.
So we'll be able to pick that up hopefully when that's available. And that's going to be Never by Night, Horror Anthology Volume 1. That's going to have four stories in it. That's going to be one of them. And I'm hoping at one point, I would love for it to all conclude together, that one day when I do get to do the film and I feel like everything will go into place, I'm hoping that it will. I think things needed to be kind of swept aside so it can be started afresh. And with the right people coming in, the right positive people, that's what I want in my life right now. So that's what I want to bring in. So I think it will be truly the way it's supposed to be when that comes out. And when that does come out, what I'm hoping to do is to do a comic book graphic novel adaptation of The Rectory to coincide with that. And also, if I've already done this prequel character story, I want to do a few other prequel character stories. So basically, you'll have three or four different prequel character stories to then accompany the comic book adaptation as well. So you could have this as an extra, you know, to show you why did this person go to England's most haunted house? Why did he go there? That's what I was basically expressing in this prequel character story. But also, there was a bit in it that was based on a true thing that happened to my dad's aunt, which was completely true and it's scary as fuck.
Whoa.
So I've combined a true story in with the character to, you know, to come together.
Fantastic. Oh, man. Well, I know it's been way too long. I'm glad. I mean, we're totally worth the wait, but I hope you come on again much sooner, next time around, and because the door is always open for you, my friend. It really is. Meeting you in person was so wonderful. You have such a great spirit. You're a great person to hang around with, and like I said, I live on the wrong coast. If I was in LA, I know I'd be hanging out all the time, and that would be wonderful. So,
Definitely. Well, dude, yeah, we'll definitely have to do this again soon. I think now things are more open and everything to basically have the opportunity to do that. Plus, my kid's just finished school for the summer, at least until he goes back. But there'll be opportunities in between all of that where I'll just say, hey, you know, you got half an hour, this is coming out or whatever, and we could talk.
yeah. Fantastic. I love it. That's excellent. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know where you could find John. You could find Crash Palace at crashpalaceproductions.com. You could find this show on, I think, like 35 to 45 different outlets, including iTunes and Spotify. And also follow me on Twitter at Crash Palace. And that's it. John, thank you so much. Glad you came on, and look forward to having you on again. And much success with the comics and everything else that comes thereafter.
Thank you, man. Great talking with you, man.
Okay, bye.
Take care, dude. Bye.